The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Man, don't forget to pay your tolls. That was fun. That was really fun. Brewers win 10-6 over the Cubs. They've guaranteed at least a split. They'll go for the series win tomorrow. The trademarked Blake Perkins game. And just because, Augie, this is the way baseball goes, the Brewers had come into tonight having not scored a run in 32 innings against Cubs starting pitching, and they're facing one of the best starting pitchers in baseball in Shota Yamanaga. And what do? They hang seven on him today, because of course, that's how baseball works.
You know, what a great game. I'll tell you what, their approach to facing a guy who, what would he do? Gave up seven runs today in four innings. He had only given up like five runs in his previous 53 innings, something like that. But the Brewers at-bats really had some really good at-bats. They made him throw strikes. They made him get the ball up, and they really did a nice job. But I just welcome to Blake Perkins Day. What a great game for a guy in center field that, you know, you look at a guy, does he play every day? Is he one of those guys that's a starter? He's just one of those guys that's so valuable because he can do so many things so well. And today he just had one of those fantastic days.
So Perkins robbed a home run, robbed extra bases against the wall in right center, and he robbed extra bases in left center too. So he covered plenty of ground out there in center. He also hit a two-run homer. He also had a double. And batting in the seventh spot in the order, he's been playing every day just about again lately and getting the start against a lefty. And look, he was originally called up last season, fourth outfielder depth type, given the Brewers had a lot of injuries. Obviously, the Garrett Mitchell injury is a big part of that. But when Perkins arrived, I don't think he was quite ready. He was not ready. And he went through the lumps, and he's gone through lumps this season too. And he's, you know, not going to be this caliber night every single night. But then you get games like this where you're reminded why the Brewers were drawn to Blake Perkins in the first place. And when he filled in admirably when Christian Yelich went down, he made it clear he is more valuable than just being a quote-unquote fourth outfielder. And there is a decision looming for the Brewers when Garrett Mitchell is healthy, who's going to get the majority of reps in center field, because Blake Perkins reminded you tonight, not only is he can get going with the bat like he did and hits from both sides, he also is the best defensive center fielder that the Brewers have, and he's certainly one of the best in the National League.
You know, it's one. You know, he's one of those guys. You know, when you look at this lineup or you look at the roster, you say, "Well, you know, his name you see there as an outfielder, but really not in one of those guys that's going to play each and every day." Especially if Garrett Mitchell's 100% healthy, you kind of look at where he's going to fit. But you know, he's one of those guys that always finds a way to help your ball club. And defensively, we see what he did defensively tonight. Just fantastic. Really changed the game around with the catching of the home run early in the ball game, and then making that backhand play, which I thought was a tougher play to make. It was just an outstanding play. But he finds ways to help the club. He's done a lot of great things in the defensive side of ball. He's very steady. But on the offensive side, he's also come up with some big hits. Tonight, the big home run in the third inning, five-run third inning, was huge. So he comes up with things to help ball club. And those are guys that when you look at the roster on a ball club, you say, you know what? That's the kind of guy we need, because he may not play every day, but every day that he comes out there, he's going to find a way to help your ball club win. And today he was a big factor in why the Brewers won.
855-616-1620 is the phone number. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text in, you can call in. Would love to hear from you tonight. We're with Jerry Augustine, former Brewers pitcher. Augie, also, I think we got to talk about what the Brewers did against Shota and setting the tone right off the bat. Yelly obviously hit the home run, but the message I think was sent by Joey Ortiz that you're not going to sneak a fastball by any of these guys, that he tried to sneak three consecutive fastballs against the leadoff hitter Joey Ortiz, and he was having none of it, lining a double to right center field to open the game. And then obviously two batters later, Yelly hit the home run. To me, the number that jumps out about today's performance against Yamanaga is not the, you know, the seven runs or the home runs hit. The Brewers did not swing and miss at a single fastball today. The only whiffs were on the splitter, which is his patented pitch. The fact that they were attacking the fastball, and they even started hitting the splitter later in the game too, they did not miss when they got a fastball.
Hey, you know, I when you look at the way the game went, you look at Imaniga, what kind of a pitcher he is, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, he throws that big sweeper a lot. He's got a really good split finger, likes to get the ball down. I thought today he didn't really have very good command of his fastball. It looked like when he tried to make a good pitch with it, it was in the middle of the plate. And that's where you have to really credit the Brewers. They were able to stay off that breaking ball high in the zone or away in the zone, and a split finger that he didn't really have that. I didn't think it was as good as I have seen him pitch. I watched him pitch a couple times before, and I thought his split finger was just dynamic. But it looked like what they did is they got him in the counts where he had to use fastball, and they said, you know what, you throw it in the zone, we're going to hit it. And he just didn't have the good command. He wasn't probably as sharp as you want to do, but you can't discredit what the Brewers did, and I agree with you at Ortiz. Starting the ball game off, leading off, he's never led off in the majors before, come up and get two big hits like he did. I really set the tone for the ball game, and then Christian, of course, puts that great swing and hits the ball at the ballpark and gets the Brewers on the board early in the game, I thought was huge.
That was significant for Yelly. It was his first home run since being activated off the IL. It's been since April 10th, more than a month and a half, of course, for him. And all of the check boxes for Yelly's homer really made me turn my head. A, it was off the lefty. B, it was on a fastball. C, he pulled it. And D, it was an absolute no-doubter. And E, it was an ambush. I mean, those are five things that make you think back to 18-19 a little bit here for Yelly. I'm not saying he's going to be that guy the rest of the season, but pulling a fastball is just something that for the last couple of years we hadn't seen from Yelly, and he hit it 441 feet away. It probably still actually hasn't landed. Yelly had been getting some bad luck as of late. To see him connect, he had a couple of hits and a couple of RBIs tonight. Let's see what he can build on that and keep moving forward with it.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, that home run, he got a ball in the middle up. And I tell you what, he put a swing. As soon as he swung and he hit the ball, you knew the ball was out of the ballpark. It's just a matter of how far was it. You know, it was put a great swing. But his second at-bat in that 5-run third inning, when he got the ball, he hit another fastball. Looked like a little bit of a cut fastball that was out away from him. He just stayed back on the ball. You talk about yelling when he's swinging the bat real well, letting the ball travel, putting the ball in play. And I thought that was an outstanding at-bat where he just got the ball away from him, put a nice easy swing, didn't try to overswing, and drove the ball in the gap. And I'll tell you what, I really was impressed with the home run because home runs are always impressive. But that second at-bat, that's the Christian Yelich one we saw when he had those MVP years, putting a good swing, being patient on the ball, letting the ball travel, and hitting that ball in the gap like he did tonight.
We're going to play a game in the next segment where we're going to point out a couple of underrated things from tonight's game. We're going to go down the box score, some things that we may have noticed, some performances that we want to make sure that we highlight. How about you text yours in or call yours in as well? 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Want a reminder that Brewers Extra Innings all season long brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, and they've been offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association member FDIC. Brewers win 10-6 over the Cubs. They'll go for the series tomorrow on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 10-6. I'm Dom Cutronio. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. Josh in Milwaukee, that was quite a ride tonight. Imaniga looked human, and Perkins was unconscious. Two takeaways for me. Jackson showed some growth with an excellent inning and a catch. The pitching staff found a way. This one from Tom in South Dakota. No player of the game because it was the Blake Perkins game indeed. And number two, no Brewers game is complete without some late inning tension despite a big lead. I love baseball, at least tonight. That made me smile. Thanks for the text there as well. Jerry, before we get to our underrated moments of the game, I want to get to the phone lines. Ken in Tosa, I'll get to you in just a second because I see what you want to talk about with Abner. We're going to talk about the underrated plays of this game. We'll get to you at the end of this segment. But first and foremost for me, Augie, my number one pick, if you will, for underrated moments of this game is the fact that Jared Koenig had a relatively quiet sixth inning, because at the time, this game was kind of in flux. It was imbalanced at that point. It was 7-4. The top of the order was coming up again, and Koenig's been working a lot as of late. He struck out Gomes. He struck out Talkman. Then Seiya pulled a single with two strikes, and he got Bellinger to pop out. I thought that quietly was a very important inning to stabilize things, because there were a few innings of chaos there.
I agree. I say, you know, just a couple weeks ago, you and I, Dom, were talking about Jared Koenig. How is he? How can he be used? And he's the kind of guy that, you know, he struggled a little bit at times, but he's really been throwing the ball very well. He's that guy that you can bring in after that starter. He's going to do something very positive. He can give you multi-innings. But, you know, I looked at his stats tonight. He's got a 2.22 ERA. He is 5-1. Right away, the first thing that came to my mind, Dom, and you might think, oh, well, boy, you are pretty old here, is Jim Slayton back in 81, 82. Jim Slayton pitched out of bullpen. He had 12 or 14 wins out of the bullpen. Look at what Jared Koenig is doing. He's that guy that if you have a short start, you can put him in the ballgame. He can give you multiple innings. He's going to give you a good outing. And I thought today he'd come into the game, really slammed the door a little bit for a couple innings, and that was so important. And he's throwing the ball really well. I really love what the Brewers have in the three lefties out in that bullpen, but I'm going to tell you what, each one of them has a great value, and each one of them is throwing the ball very well.
I'll give you another more recent comp then, if we're going to bring up Jim Slayton. How about Brent Suter back in 2021 when he had 12 wins coming out of the bullpen that year and 73 innings out of the pen? It's a similar role where you're not going to be throwing in like the traditional 7-8-9 role, but hey, if you need to get out of the fifth and the sixth, that's where Suter is rolling in, and that's where Jared Koenig has been rolling in, and he has been so important for the Brewers. Did you have another, how about, we can keep going back and forth here, how about an underrated moment that you saw from tonight's win?
Boy, when I look at the game, the moments of the game is the bullpen, and they continually go out and pitch the ball very well. Wilson didn't have his great stuff with 382 pitches. Boy, underrated moments. Adames again, I think, is a guy that you look at and see what he's been able to do. You look at what he's averaged. We just talked about him a couple of weeks ago where he was struggling at the bat. I think his defensive play tonight, although all the players with the Brewers made some great plays, but his defensive play and his big at-bats that he is having, came up with the big home run late in the ballgame. I think he, just what he does on the defensive side of the ball and offensively being aggressive like he has been and swinging the bat much better, I think those are underrated, because you know what? He was not playing well for a while. All of a sudden he's starting to kick it in gear and he's making big plays, getting big at-bats for the Brewers.
Yeah, Adames made a really nice play on Morel back in the second that could have easily gone by without blinking an eye, but that's what elite defensive shortstops do. That's a good call. I mean, Adames, yes, he blew it open there. It was his 10th home run in his career against the Cubs, all coming since he joined the Brewers in 2021. That's already, since 2021, tied for the fifth most on baseball, rather. The company that he's with is some pretty darn good company, looking at who he's around. So Paul Goldschmidt and Joey Votto each have hit 13 homers against the Cubs since 2021. Pete Alonso's hit 11. And then, boom, Willie Adames has got 10. Also, Tyler O'Neill has got 10. So that's some really good power-hitting company for Adames. Another thing that I wanted to bring up here as far as underrated moments, and this is a couple of texts have come in here about this, Jackson Chourio's catch coming forward on a ball to end the fourth inning. And that was huge because it was the bottom of the order, Yan Gomes. You had a man on and the top of the order lurking, obviously, and that would have been the third time through against Wilson, who clearly didn't have his best stuff today. Not only was it a nice play, but it was exactly what we talked about yesterday on a play that he gave up too soon on yesterday. He has the talk with Freddie, has the talk with Ricky. The Brewers are believing in him. They want to build him up, not tear him down. And they powered him up enough to dive forward for a baseball, and he made the catch. The dugout reaction was fantastic. It's going to be a learning process. It is going to be a little bit of a, you know, one step at a time, baby steps, if you will, given he's the baby of the team at 20 years old. But boom, right there, the coaching paid off in the moment of yesterday's frustration of not catching a ball. Then today, you get the moment and you come through. That's huge for a huge day for his development.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that was one of the ones I was going to bring up. And Chourio, what we just talked about last night, he's going to go through that growth pattern, and the veteran players talking to him. For him today to come up and make that play, you know what? That's that confidence you need. That's that education that you get as a young player that's saying, hey, you know what? Those guys still have confidence in me. They know I can make that play. And I'm sure that helped him, encourage him today just to go out all out and make that play that he made tonight. So very positive, very underrated, but a very big part of the ball game too, that he goes out and makes that play. And that, you know, coming in, he didn't get a hit today. He was 0-for-4, but I'm going to tell you what, the defensive side of the ball always playing very well. And I'll tell you what, that was a big play in the ball game.
And finally, my last one is kind of a combo, is all the two-strike hitting off of Imanaga today. Sanchez hitting a two-run double on a splitter down the left field line was huge. Also, both of Ortiz's hits came with two strikes today. I thought their approach was fantastic. A couple of texts that have rolled in here as well. Mason from Green Bay, an electric start for the crew. Felt like Churio's sliding catch was the underrated moment and possibly an outcome of the conversation with Freddie yesterday. Even with an 0-for-4 tonight, his effort and attitude is telling. Jackson is the future. This one from Adam down in Gainesville. This is exactly the type of game the crew needed. They were not going to allow the story to be that they couldn't hit Cubs starters. Putting up runs against Shota with a .84 ERA, mind you. Multiple homers. Perkins and Godbo tonight. Too many good things to count. Fantastic win indeed. Ken, I told you I was going to get to you. Let's get to you now. Ken and Tosa, you're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, I was wondering that the pitcher that got in that fight, and then he hit that guy, and then he got suspended for 6 games, but then he said he got two games suspended in the minors, so he had to go back to the minors. And we haven't heard from him for about 3 weeks.
Right, so Abner Uribe is who you're talking about, Ken. He was optioned immediately after that all that fight went down. It wasn't having to do with the fight. It was more about having to do with his performances. And he was serving a AAA suspension that was still carried over from last year, because when he got called up to the show, he was still serving a suspension down there from trying to break up a fight that he got caught in the crossfire of. And then here he gets in the fight with Jose Siri, has to serve a 6-game suspension, but that was actually reduced to 4 games, we learned recently from Pat Murphy. So when Abner Uribe returns to the bullpen, if they so choose, he would need to serve that 4-game suspension, and part of being suspended means you have to play a man short in your bullpen. You can't replace him on the roster. You can't call him up and bring somebody else up at the same time. A 26-man roster becomes a 25-man roster, so you have to be able to absorb that for the penalty of the suspension. Appreciate the call, though, Ken. Also, back to the phone lines here real quick before I break. Doug in Baraboo. Doug, welcome back on the show. You're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, we were at the game tonight, and we're here for a few more, but everybody kind of already stole my thunder because I caught the Churio's catch coming in, and we've been talking, or everybody's been talking about him working on that, and that was great to see. What a show by Perkins. To see that live was unbelievable. A couple things. I wondered what happened with the errors they were putting up for Bowers. At first there was one or two, and then it was then one, and then towards the end there I thought he had an error, but then it went back to one. And the other comment I have is that there's going to be a major decision when Mitchell comes back in 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it is for that outfield position. I mean, it's a good problem, but it's going to be a major decision, in my opinion.
I agree. And we're looking at about 3.5 weeks out for that decision to loom from that Anaheim-San Diego series. On the Bowers errors, they did take one away for one infield hit for Mike Tauchman, which is probably the right call, but it's one of those nights for Bowers. I mean, just a weird one. A couple of days. I mean, he's been solid defensively, and you hang with him, right, Augie? You always are there to support a first baseman. He's been good, and especially in Reese's absence, given he's virtually had to play every day, and he's in a little bit of a funk right now with the bat ever since the home run against Houston. He's now just 4 for his last 35. You know, sometimes you have that day where it all comes in crashing at once and you shake it off, and maybe a day game tomorrow is good for him to not think about it.
Yeah, you get those times, you know, when you're a young player, you're in the majors for your first time, or just say you're a young player in the majors, you're going to go through those times. You're going to go through those struggles. You know, he's had a couple big home runs, but defensively, I think he's been really good. The one error was legit. It is an error, but the other one I thought was like you had just said. But he's done an excellent job at first base, and what he's done, maybe getting used to playing on an everyday basis sometimes when you're not used to it has a little bit to do with his at-bats, and that sometimes can do with it. But you can't fault the job that he's done. He's done just a great job for the Brewers at first base.
All right, we're up against a break. We're going to take it back with more of Jerry Augustine's thoughts and yours as well. I see some texts rolling in here. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers win 10-6 over the Cubs right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory. They've evened the season series, so tomorrow they can take the edge in that series, and they'll meet again in a month, and then they'll meet right after the All-Star break, and then that's it. They'll be done before the All-Star break in the season series with the Cubbies. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us still here. Augie, a question here came in about Bryce Wilson. Joseph from South Dakota, should Bryce move back to the bullpen? He seems better there. Now, I agree and disagree, Joseph, because right now there's a need in the starting rotation. With Joe Ross down, with his, he's still only playing catch. He has not thrown off a mound. Jacob Junis is nearing a return, but even yet, he still needs a rehab start, maybe two, and he might not be a traditional starter in that role. And then you've still got D.L. Hall awaiting a second opinion on his knee. There's a lot of going down in the rotation, obviously. They need Bryce Wilson in what normally delivers length. Don't let today cloud the fact that he was tremendous against the Red Sox over the weekend. And Billy has been, Billy's his nickname, Billy has been good this year. I'm not going to overreact to what he did today. It's an example of when you don't have your A stuff against a lineup that is starting to cook a little bit with offense. Seiya's getting hot, Hap's getting hot, Bellinger's getting hot. They're going to make you pay.
No question. You look at Wade, the way he threw the ball in Boston. I tell you, you look at the pitch count, the number of pitches. I don't remember exactly what the pitches were and for pitches thrown and for strikes. But it was fantastic how he commanded the strike zone, really had that good fastball, was locating. It looked like today he was just a little bit off edge. When you look at him pitching four innings, throwing 82 pitches, 53 strikes, 82 pitches in four innings is an average above 20 pitches an inning. So when you get into that 20 pitch per inning, you're not, first of all, that means you're struggling with something. You're not commanding the strike zone. You're not getting, some things are, you're going deep into counts. And I think that's what he was doing today. He's going into a lot of deep counts. You look at his stats, and he did have two walks. But I tell you what, he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's so valuable in the bullpen. He can pitch, give you multi-innings, pitch anywhere you want him to. But when you need that starter, that veteran starter can go out and understands what it is to say, you know what, my job is to go out there and keep us in the ballgame. When we get a lead, let me keep it there, and then I'll turn it over to the bullpen. He's done a really good job. And until this Brewers staff gets 100% healthy, I think he's a good guy to have that you can utilize in that starting rotation.
I agree. I think we're just overreacting of a rougher start than usual today for Bryce Wilson. He's a guy that, look, it's not going to be six shutout with 11 punchies like we saw from Freddie yesterday, or six innings with one run. But Bryce gets outs, and he gets innings, and that is still very valuable. I mean, that's currency in today's game, given how deep on the depth chart the Brewers are right now. Colin Ray obviously goes tomorrow, and he got to stick around because he gave innings last season. Innings matter. Strikeouts are cool, but innings are cooler, because if you can get through six and keep that bullpen fresh, I mean, just the fact that the Brewers added insurance and were able to give the ball to Mitch White as opposed to a Brian Hudson or to Yoel Piamps, tried to give these guys a breather and have them be available for tomorrow for a series potential clincher. That's certainly important. As we talk about all the time, Augie, each game leads to the next, right? Obviously, the Cubs stuck with Kyle Hendricks the rest of the game, trying to give their leverage arms a breather when they were losing. The Brewers getting up big, it was huge to give Piamps and Hudson a day for tomorrow.
Yeah, no question. With Bryce Wilson, he talks so much as what his success comes from coming into this year, and what happened that last year was being able to command that good cutter or good slider that he's developed. And, you know, I remember when he was back with Pittsburgh, he was the kind of guy that struggled a little bit as a starter, and he had that good fast fight, a little bit of breakable, a little bit of off-speed pitch, but never anything consistent off-speed. And now he's starting to learn that. And I think tonight when you look at him, if you look at his pitches, he wasn't 100% dialed in with his fastball, but I don't think that breaking ball was where he wanted to throw it with consistency. And you're going to get that from time to time. And but he still does a great job. And like you just said, you were able to give guys in the bullpen an opportunity to get in a ballgame with Kanan coming in and doing a great job and getting the win, and Paredes coming after him, and White being able to get him in spots where it's a little intense a little bit and see what he can do was big for him also tonight.
So we're officially beginning the second third of the season. This was game 55 of the year. The Brewers are now 32-23, 9 games above 500. At game 55 a season ago, they were only 3 games above 500. So they certainly have been playing well to this point in the year. I said it yesterday, look, everybody is satisfied with what we've seen so far from the Brewers. And yet, we can sit here and say, I was talking to some members of the Cubs media this week, and so it was like, is this going to stick around? Is this offense going to stick around? I'm like, well, it's going to get better, right? When Hoskins returns, hopefully this weekend, more likely against the Phillies next week, when Mitchell returns, when you get more seasoning for Churio, now William Contreras might be dealing with a little bit of a finger issue, so that's something we're monitoring right now. In theory, it should stay the same, and then also in theory, when the pitching gets healthy, oh, by the way, they're doing all this without Devin Williams. There's a lot to like about this team.
No doubt. I think I say it every year, you win pennants or you get to the playoffs with your bullpen. And this bullpen has definitely been there. You see each and every night, guys stepping up. I'm so, like I said before, Dom, I really like the three lefties in the bullpen and pitching the way they're pitching. You got the guys from the right side, and Miguel's throwing the ball very well. These are the kind of guys that are make a difference when you get Devin Williams back. But, you know, when you look at what their record is, the bullpen has a lot to do with it. The starting pitching has done very well. But you know what? You look at this ball club, the veterans have done okay, but these young kids are going out, Ortiz and Bowers, and Terang has changed himself around, Chirio is learning how to play the game. These are the guys that are going to make the difference. And like you said, they're learning now. They can only get better. And I'll tell you what, that's a big reason why you see the ball club being 9 games over 500.
Jerry Augustine joining us here on 620 WTMJ. We'll talk with you soon. Enjoy the day game tomorrow, Augie, and appreciate you as always.
It'd be a big win. Big for the Brewers inside the division, winning a series, a big 4-game series is huge. So it's going to be a good ball game tomorrow.
It will be fun. All right. Thanks, Augie. We got some numbers to pile on, some more text that I'm behind on here as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. The upswing. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 10-6. I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of numbers that jump out to me, those in a moment. A couple of texts that have rolled in as well. I was definitely blown away by the great wall of Blake in center. Go Brewers from Christopher. This one from the 414. Cup fan on the internet yesterday said that the best team won, as in yesterday, the Cubs winning yesterday. Now you guys are showing that you are nothing. Well, I disagree with that. They're still a pretty darn good team. 3.5 games ahead of you, and that's why you have better batting averages and better pitchers. And well, today showed it again. Go Crew and go Murphy. You're a better manager than that guy ever was. All right, now we're getting personal here. It's all good. Hey, the rivalry's got a new chapter now, man, and it's a different level. There's still energy in the ballpark today, less so these last 2 days, given everyone's kind of back to reality. Summer has begun. Parents got to go back to work. I mean, it was loud on here on Monday. It wasn't as loud. It was still fun. Don't get me wrong. It was a little different atmosphere these last 2 nights. That's kind of felt like a midweek series a little bit these last 2 days with, as usual, a lot of Cubs fans here. But that's okay. That's A-okay. Otherwise, some other texts here. Just leaving the Brewer game. So much fun. That one from the 414. Sam in New Berlin. I heard Murph on the Bally Post game saying that Williams is dealing with a finger issue. Yep, that's what we just hinted at there. Anything to be concerned about? I mean, if William played the game, I'm not concerned. He did get a single up the middle, and he caught the game, and it seemed like he didn't get a single call from Eric Backus except for the really bad ones. It was a weird zone tonight, but maybe, I mean, he's going to DH tomorrow, given it's Colin Ray on the mound, day game after night game. Gary's going to be the catcher, and then you kind of figure it out from there. You know, if he needs another day on Friday against the White Sox, look, I don't want this to come off as rude, but if there's a day that you want to give William a day off against, it might be against the White Sox, if you get what I'm saying. With that being said, would William allow it? Probably not. And because you know he's probably not going to take a day off against the Phillies next week. He doesn't like taking off when Freddie pitches, which is in line currently to likely be on Monday or Sunday, depending on how the Brewers roll with it. If they go on the fifth day, it would be Sunday. If they go on the sixth day, it would be Monday. And he doesn't like to miss those starts for Freddie. So something to monitor with William indeed. But he played the game. Murph said a lot of guys would be out of the game, and William wanted to play. It's 92 in a row. Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive stuff from William Contreras. Some numbers that jumped out to me here in this one. The Brewers, they went 6 for 11 with runners in scoring position, in addition to hitting 3 home runs. We know we've talked about the runners in scoring position and how great they've been. They left one runner on base all night. One. I mean, that's a sign of an offense that was firing on all cylinders. The Cubs, meanwhile, they went 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 runners on base. The Brewers bullpen only allowed 1 earned run today. Koenig, Paredes, and White combined to throw 5 innings, 1 earned run in those 5 innings. I'll take that every day. Absolutely great stuff there. It was also the 7th time this year the Brewers had scored at least 10 runs in a game. That is tied for the most in baseball. Them and the Kansas City Royals. The offense is certainly clicking and getting things going in the right direction. The rest of the show here, we got Pat Murphy coming up next. We got highlights, and we're also going to hear from Blake Perkins, his interview with Jeff Levering after today's game here on WTMJ. So take a breather, come back. We'll hear from Murph after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory by a 10-6 final score. They will go for the series tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Brewers Extra Innings, also brought to you in part by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You got one more day. Spring in Wisconsin, it's time for your AC tune-up. Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has got you covered. You can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance, and it just goes until the end of the month. So you got one more day. Schedule an appointment today at Cider, SEI. DER.com. Well, I guess two more days if you count the 31st, but get it done at Cider.com. How about what Pat Murphy had to say after today's game? Brewers win. Here's a happy manager.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, Joey set the tone, and then Yelly came up huge for us and just really let everybody know that, hey, guys, we can get on this guy. I mean, this guy's been as good as there is in the game, and, you know, he had a long break. Sometimes that doesn't help. Some, you know, you think it's helping, and I'm sure he needed it, but he's been lights out. Watching video of him, it's hard to find any footage of anybody squaring balls up, you know, so I'm just proud of our guys, the way they came out. But really, defense won us the game. Let's be honest. Perkins, how many runs can we attribute? You guys probably have done that, figured it out. I mean, Perkins saved how many runs today alone? Ortiz, two great backhand plays, but Perk made 3 plays. Churio made a play. You know, William had to catch all those pitches, and he's got a banged up finger that most guys wouldn't have played with. So hats off to William for hanging in there and doing what he's doing. Adamas, big homer. It was great. Koenig picking up Wilson. Wilson didn't throw the ball badly. It's just that, you know, we made a couple misplays behind him, but, Koenig really did the job, and Paredes and Mitch White. It was big. Those 3 relievers, you know, started the year in the minor leagues. So, and Bryce wasn't going to be part of our rotation. So, Cubs swing the bat good. They did. They swing the bat good. They're finding themselves a little bit offensively. So, be a great one tomorrow.
First, those catches by Perkins, they all were really kind of momentum killers for the Cubs too, weren't they? You know, just kind of the way they...
I believe all with on base, right? Yeah. Like a couple with 2 outs, or all 3 with 2 outs.
The one would have been a grand slam.
One would have been a 3-run triple probably if he didn't catch it in the corner. And the other diving one, there had to be at least 2 guys on. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking 9 runs that you save, plus the inning's still going. I mean, and Ortiz made 2 great plays. Churio diving catch. How about that? That was nice.
So you said before the game, you were just kind of trying things out, looking for answers against left-handers. Joey Ortiz in a leadoff spot, sure to pay off.
Yeah, look right today, especially against him. So maybe that's a worth another shot. Perkins, homer. Oh, wait a minute. By the way, he made three unbelievable catches, saved all those runs. And, by the way, homer. Game to remember.
Blake's glove obviously took center stage today with the plays he was making. But we've seen all year he makes really good plays, and he makes difficult plays look routine out there in center field. Do you think that even with today, the glove has still flown under the radar a little bit? Just how
I think the whole player is under the radar. You know what I mean? I think that this kid, think of the homers he's hit this year left-handed, and think of the way he played in the first month of the season. And then, you know, we hit a little dry spell there where offensively he wasn't producing, but, man, he's been an under-the-radar guy, especially defensively, because he's just so solid out there. He almost looks like he's one of those guys that almost looks like he's not trying. You know what I mean? It's like, but knowing him and knowing who he is as a guy, like, you know he's trying. You know, like, and he's just he's in love with baseball, man. It's pretty cool.
With the whole looking like it's not trying thing, does that just come back to first step reads off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, it's just smooth. You know, he plays smooth.
Smooth is good. Smooth is very good. All about Blake Perkins tonight. How about some highlights coming up next? And then we'll hear from Blake himself at the end of the show on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game three of a four-game set, Cubs and Brewers here at American Family Field. The Brewers facing the best arm in baseball in the first third of the season. Shota Imanaga getting the start. The left-hander has been fantastic against the righty Bryce Wilson. The Brewers, though, they weren't fazed at all. Three batters in, they finally scored their first runs against the Cubs starter this year.
And he deals Yelich to right center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here! And way gone for Christian. And the Brewers have a 2-0 lead.
Bob Uecker on the call here on WTMJ, 441 feet away from Yelly, setting the tone early. Hey, better late than never. It snapped a streak of 32 and a third innings without scoring a run against Cubs starters. However, in the second inning, the Cubs would respond off Wilson with a solo homer by Ian Happ. Then they got a pair of two-out walks to really make things dangerous. Yan Gomes, though, would fly out to center field. Then in the top of the third inning, they got a man aboard with a two-out single by Bellinger. Christopher Morel almost flipped the scoreboard.
3-2 pitch. Fly ball center field. Uh-oh. Perkins back. Still back. Leaping. Caught it! Oh, he timed it beautifully. And Blake Perkins takes a two-run homer off the board for Morel. We saw Bellinger do it last night to preserve a no-hitter. And now it's Blake Perkins in straightaway center field. He's robbed his second home run of the season. A gem and then some from Blake Perkins.
So instead of being down 3-2, they remained up 2-1, and then they took off and went running in the bottom of the third. A leadoff single by Contreras, or rather by Ortiz. Contreras popped out. Yelich singled. It put men on the corners, and Willy Adames was at the plate.
Imanaga throws home. Line drive, base hit up the middle. That'll get another run home to make it 3-1 Milwaukee. Three hits in the inning against Imanaga, and the Brewers have put up a three spot. Most runs he has allowed in a start this season.
Oh, they were just getting started. Next up, Gary Sanchez.
1-2. Line down the left field line. It is down, base hit. Yelich scores. Adames waved around third. Here comes the throw from Swanson. It's late. A two-run double for Gary Sanchez. 5-1 Brewers.
And that was on a two-strike splitter as well. Really impressive piece of hitting from Gary. And, hey, generally when you make a defensive play, you tend to come up in the next inning on offense. And, boy, Blake Perkins showed up.
Imanaga at the belt. Pitch to Perkins. Fly ball left center. It is way back, and it is gone! Blake Perkins robbed one in the top half, and now he sends one out. 7-1 Brewers on a 5-run third against Imanaga.
He wasn't the only one playing defense, though, as well, with the Brewers jumping all over Shota. Jackson Churio had a big growth moment.
Gomes to shallow right. Churio coming on. Churio dives. He got it. Well, Churio, who has had a penchant for not leaving his feet, leaves his feet and makes the catch and takes a run off the board for Chicago. Comes into the dugout to a standing ovation. High fives from Jake Bowers and Quentin Berry. That a kid.
Things got tense in the middle innings for the Cubs as they scored a pair of runs in the fifth inning. At that point, it was 7-4 Brewers, but Jared Koenig came in and doused the flames and made sure to get out of that without any further damage. We fast forward now to the seventh. Brewers still in control, and how about a little more defense from Blake?
First pitch to him, to center field. Back goes Perkins, still back, and he will make the catch again! Over the shoulder with a backhand, Blake Perkins having the game of his life defensively. And a standing ovation from the American Family Field faithful.
Put some gold on that glove, maybe even platinum as well. What a night for Perkins. And all that was left was to put the cherry on top. Kyle Hendricks was pitching in the seventh. One run was already in on a ground out. Willy Adames made sure to make this ballpark pop.
Hendricks throws on 3-1. Line drive, deep left. Back half. Adames has done it again. 10-4 Brewers on a two-run bomb by Willy Adames.
Home run number 9 for Willie. Got revenge from getting his homer robbed last night in the Brewers' win, 10-6. We'll hear from Blake Perkins coming up next as he caught up with Jeff Levering earlier and the network post-game show. And then we'll say goodnight on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All smiles from Blake Perkins. You know, he just switched his walk-up song to some Mary J. Blige the other day, so some good vibes coming from Family Affair. I'm not going to quote the lyrics. You know the lyrics. They're a fun song. But here he was all smiles with Jeff Levering earlier tonight on the Brewers postgame show.
Getting word that our postgame show guest, Blake Perkins, is on with us. And before we get to Blake, how about we hear Blake Perkins' home run robbery before we talk to Blake? 3-2 pitch. Fly ball center field. Uh-oh. Perkins back, still back, leaping, caught it! Oh, he timed it beautifully, and Blake Perkins takes a two-run homer off the board for Morrell. Well, Blake, what do you think, bud? How was that play?
Exciting. Glad I made it. That was a fun moment.
So you rob a home run in the top of the third inning. Bottom of the third inning, you hit a two-run homer. Has anything like that ever happened to you in your life?
I really can't say. I don't think so. I mean, you see, like, people make these crazy plays and then, you know, come up and hit something cool. But I don't think I've ever robbed a home run and then hit one in the same inning. So,
I mean, check it off the list, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
What an incredible day today. And first and foremost, you guys get to Imanaga. He hasn't given up anything all season long. The plan was perfect from the offensive group.
Yeah. We did a really good job, I think, of just sticking to our approach, you know, staying within ourselves, swinging at strikes, and I think just being aggressive. And, you know, our top of the order really set the tone today, which was really good.
So you hit a home run, you have the home run robbery, and then there was another great play off of Ian Happ. Which catch did you like better?
I mean, like, I think for the game situation, the home run rob was, you know, like, it was a good momentum boost for us. But The second catch, that was, I think, more difficult just in general, and I was pretty excited after making that play. I know I don't always look like I'm excited, but I promise you that inside I'm fired up. So
I tell you, it's really impressive watching you because you are so calm on the surface, right? And I think you know that about yourself, too. But your heart's got to be pounding inside your chest in the moment.
Yeah, of course. I mean, after that play happened, I mean, I'm kind of like everyone else. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what just happened? But, you know, it's just like that's the part of the game that I enjoy the most. And I'm so happy when I get to impact the game, you know, for my teammates in that way.
I remember talking to Brandon Woodruff about this when he hit the home run off of Clayton Kershaw. This was 2018, and he led off the inning with that home run. And it's probably a good thing that he did because he was pitching in the game. He had an opportunity to get back into the dugout and have his body calm down. You mentioned that, you know, the home run ended the inning. So you had a chance to catch your breath a little bit before you came to the plate in the third. Mm-hmm. And then in the seventh inning, you had to stay out there. That was just the second out of the inning. That's not an easy thing to do, is stay out there and calm yourself down.
Yeah, no, especially like now with the, you know, with the pitch clock, it can be tough to kind of calm the mind back and lock back in. But, you know, it's part of the game now. And I think it's just part of the routine. You know, I try and tell people, like, I practice this every day in BP. So part of me knows that I can just trust myself and I'll be good.
Bet you were wishing Nick would sprint out there with a cup of water for you.
Yeah. Maybe next time I'll have to take a team timeout. Maybe that's what we need in baseball.
Yeah, there you go. Well, nice game tonight, Blake. Congratulations. Get yourself some rest. You got to dig in tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You got it. That's Blake Perkins joining us.
Blake and Jeff earlier tonight over on the Network Post Game Show, and really appreciate Blake taking the time. So fun stuff there. Tomorrow, 12:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 11:35 right here on 620 WTMJ. No post game for me tomorrow, but I do have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night live at 8 o'clock right here on 620. So you can tune in for an hour of Brewers coverage, or you can catch it in the podcast after the fact. Wherever you get your pods, at Brewers All Access is the pod feed. That's going to do it for us tonight. Plenty more to talk about tomorrow night on Brewers Extra Innings, and hopefully it's after a series victory over the Cubs, which would give the Brewers the edge in the season series. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us, and to Max Meyerson for producing back in our studios. I'm Dominic Catronio, saying good night from American Family Field. Brewers win 10-6, and until next time, keep on swinging.